This is Twit.
All right, so I happen to have here something that's been the internet has been abuzz about the past couple of days.
Very exciting.
Sure you've heard Google Stadia is out, and I received the Google Stadia Founders Edition a little more than a week ago. So that's what I have here. This is the controller that comes with that is part of Stadia. You don't the Stadia controller is not required for Stadia with the Founders Edition. Like, you could still plug in a third party controller on certain platforms and do wireless. But the Stadia controller does do things a little different. Obviously, it has kind of a button layout that's specific to the Google Stadia service. There we go. My assistant loves to fire off when I say nothing of the sort. Every episode, I swear it happens these days. I have no idea what's going on. Google's just listening. It even has the assistant button next to the screenshot button. Neither of these are active during the preview. There's a bunch of functionality that wasn't active during the preview. I did do a full kind of like hands-on latency test, all that sort of stuff that you can find on Hands-On Tech. But I thought I'd show it off here because it's actually pretty interesting. It promises a lot. I can't say that it necessarily delivers on all of its promises. Stadia, really, the whole crux of this is that it's a game console in the cloud. It's all served from Google's servers in the cloud. So you don't need to buy a console, right? Like, for $130, $129, I could get the Founders Edition, which includes the controller. It includes a Chromecast Ultra, so you can plug this into your TV and, you know, have it on your big screen. First dibs on a Stadia username, 3 months of Stadia Pro, and that Pro service normally costs $10 a month. That's what gets you 4K streaming. If you don't want to go 4K or don't need to go 4K, you can get 1080p streaming for free. And, you know, so you just have the controller or whatever. You just have to buy the game through Stadia, and these are, you know, really good quality games, AAA titles, I'd say. Nothing exclusive to Stadia right out of the gate, and you're still paying kind of the normal price. So you're paying $50-$60 depending on the title, so you're paying a lot, you know, a decent chunk of money for a title that you don't actually own the media for. It's all kept on Google servers, and I think that's one of the limitations that you really have here, is that you don't own anything at the end of the day. So if Google ever gets really sick and tired of supporting Stadia, what happens to all that media? You know, there's some verbiage in the terms of service that says something about a refund, but it's very loosey-goosey. It's hard to know exactly what would happen if that time came. And when you're dropping $50, $60 on a game, like, people will, you know, gamers will want to know what the heck's going on. But so I happen to have the Stadia app running on my Pixel 4. This was a little mount that kind of came in the box with the Founders Edition. I don't know that this necessarily is included in the Founders Edition, this phone mount, but it was included in the box that I got. So if I go ahead and clip that on, you can kind of see it's right above the controller. At launch, it only works wired with the phone. So I'm going to go ahead and, oops, I'll straighten that out first of all. Go ahead and plug that into the USB-C port in the back. Plug it into the Pixel phone up here without breaking things. There we go. I get a little bit of a buzz on the controller. Now, here's one thing that's pretty funny. Like, okay, so I'm holding the controller. I'm ready to search the store. I have to do it sideways. So that's kind of lame. You know, it's too bad that it doesn't recognize that it's plugged in through the port and automatically switch it to landscape, because literally you just kind of have to do that. But so I've got Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition here. And once this loads up, I mean, it's streaming to my phone from Google servers, and it might take it a second because it has to kind of load up. But I mean, this, you know, so it's running this game on their servers. Obviously, the benefit there is that Google's, you know, computers are jacked up. So you're going to get, in theory, you're going to get the best quality kind of like graphics and experience and everything. I'll go ahead and continue and everything. But
what are those bars on the left and the right side, white bars?
Oh, these? That's a really good question. Yeah, I don't know why that's showing. I don't know if...
Oh, is that my app?
Oh, you know what? That's totally Ron's app. I was like, I've never seen those before. Oh,
that's very funny.
All right, so that's a tease ahead to the arena.
Sorry about that. You can disable those. You can turn those off.
It's okay. I have no need to do anything. But that's, you know, stay tuned for the arena, and Ron will show you what those bars are. But there you go. You can see where I'm playing Tomb Raider. I'm going to go ahead and sit down by the fire and actually, I'm not going to do that because that takes a while to kind of power up. But it's a pretty cool experience being able to actually play a game like this, and you know, of this caliber on the phone, and with the controller connected to it, you know, things feel responsive enough. There's definitely some, you know, concerns about latency. What your internet connection is going to be, how fast it is, determines the quality of the video that's streamed to your device. And, you know, I tested it all the way down to like 10 megabits per second, all the way up to like a couple of hundred megabits per second on like our, you know, some of our faster connections here at the Twit Studio. And no matter what speed I was going at, I still kind of ran into times where, what is that? I keep seeing something. I gotta get it.
Sorry for interrupting.
No, do please.
Could you stop and could we see you like jump, see your finger touch the button so we can see the latency? Okay, that's
one,
pretty good.
Two, three. Yeah. I mean, it feels pretty solid right now. I have to say, of all of the different ways that I tested Stadia, you know, I had it going through the Pixelbook, I had it on the Chromecast Ultra, we did it into a Chrome browser on the MacBook Pro. I feel like I get the smoothest connection when it is plugged into the phone. That's been my experience, is that this feels right to me compared to some of the other things, the other instances. Oh, I see what just happened. Yeah, so this is from the review, and there were just times on this larger screen where, you know, the picture breaks up, things like slow down and stutter. It's just really, really kind of wild and all over the place. On the phone, I didn't really notice that as much. Things felt way more responsive on the phone. And I couldn't tell you why, but it just does. Maybe it's because everything's a little bit smaller as well. So, you know, maybe this is just locking in at 1080p instead of 4K, obviously. So here, I'm going to jump off. Yay! So, I don't know. If you have questions, Francisco, ask.
Sure. On your phone, is that a dedicated Stadia app?
Yes. This is what's running on my phone is Google's Stadia app.
Okay. On your computer or whatever you were using on the review?
Yep.
Was that a computer running Chrome, or what was that?
Yes. So obviously Chrome OS running on Chrome. When I go to stadia.google.com, okay, it recognizes that my account is cleared for Stadia. So instead of showing me the sale page of like, you know, the equipment, mm-hmm, it takes me to the console that is very similar to the app. On the MacBook Pro, you can only do it through a Chrome browser. So, probably the same on, I imagine the same on Windows.
I wonder if there's some optimizations of the entire pipeline from Android itself. It's not available from a normal Chrome browser on your desktop.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know that.
I have absolutely no idea, but from all the reviews, that's what it looks like. Some engine optimizations on the entire roads that takes everything from the Google servers to your phone and from your phone to the Google services.
Right.
Service.
Right.
Because it's pretty damn fluid,
yeah,
from what you're playing right now.
Yeah, I feel that way too. I really enjoy it on the mobile, and it's, oh, I just almost missed. Oh, I've already looked at that. I've definitely enjoyed playing this on mobile, and you know, I've had experiences where I'm throwing it onto the display with a Chromecast Ultra that have been enjoyable too. I just have to forgive certain things that happen when I do that, where, you know, everything breaks up, or like I said, stutters. Sometimes it's like uncontrollable stuttering. It's just like, all right, this isn't even playable. And sometimes it's just like the resolution. You see the resolution suddenly, you know, in a moment's notice, scale down from super sharp to like kind of fuzzy, and then back in, and kind of jumps all around. And you know, that could be network inconsistencies, could be a number of things. It's really hard to pin it down. But I do know that like a true like hardcore gamer, that's going to be, I think, a bridge too far, just dealing with, you know, those kinds of inconsistencies. Is that worth the trade-off of not having to buy a console? I don't know. Like, I mean, if the experience is always that iffy, I don't know that it is, because I know for me, I would get really annoyed with that if every time I sat down to play, it was constantly doing that. There's something to be said for the stability of a game that's in a console that you know is always going to look great, and the experience is going to sound great. You know, and that's just that's a difference.
I'm not sure Stadia is targeted to that kind of segment that you're talking about.
You're right.
For example, if you have friends that cannot see their TVs with huge input lag, even if they're connected to the PS4, their TVs are running those processing stuff that your OEMs like to put, like motion blur and motion whatever.
Yeah. Oh, that stuff, you got to turn it off as soon as you get it on.
Yeah.
Yes, but yeah, we know that. But yeah, if we show that TV with another one that with game mode to, again, normal people, they probably don't see the difference. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if with Stadia this is going to be the same thing, that the small latency won't be a problem for the casual gamer because they cannot understand that that's latency.
Mm-hmm.
And we do. So I wonder if that's going to be okay.
I
gotta say, as somebody who's is aware of all that stuff, though, Francisco, but you know, isn't a big gamer. You know, I've owned consoles in the past, and I've gotten frustrated by having to upgrade those consoles and get new ones and lay out the money for that, and then also just in this non-physical media world that we're in the streaming world that we're evolving to, the idea of even if I got a new console. Buying games and keeping, you know, the discs or whatever they need, you know, whatever they are. The idea that this is completely all distributed and cloud-based is attractive, is really interesting, is, you know, and especially, you know, in a scenario where these phones can do so much and look so good. You know, I've got a really fat pipe coming into my apartment, and, you know, it's a one-bedroom apartment with four people in it. Admittedly, two of them are very small, so they don't take up that much space. But, you know, like, you know, I don't have room for a big gaming rig, but if I wanted to, you know, play some games, I could just, you know, grab this controller and go sit in a corner on the phone and use that really good internet connection and be satisfied. So I get that kind of use case for it. You know, it's just going to be interesting to see if that's, you know, like much like Chromecast, I feel like it's a concept that regular people might have a hard time wrapping their heads around.
It really is. I mean, Chromecast is like the perfect example, right? Like, it really is just a game console, like tailored almost perfectly for like a Chromecast. It's streaming from the internet, low kind of entry point, right? Like you could get this for free as long as you buy the game. The streaming of it from the cloud is free if you happen to have a controller from a current console. You know, it's there's a good amount of support for Bluetooth controllers. So, I mean, the entry point is lower, and you're right. This sort of thing is not probably the, you know, they're not appealing. Google's not appealing to the hardcore gamer necessarily with this. Maybe it's good enough for people, you know?
But the one thing about Stadia that we're not touching upon in this is the integration with YouTube and the potential it has for gaming streamers, which, you know, as we all know, with Twitch is a huge business and a lot of people do that. And Stadia does have the ability to do, like, to stream the game you're playing to your YouTube channel and, like, have people join in and play with your audience and things like that, which, you know, I think is just it's very early on, you know, as Stadia is just coming out now, to see what the impact of that will be, considering it's also YouTube-based only, it's not Twitch-based. So whether or not that will be enough of an impact for people to get Stadia for the, you know, interactivity aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So. I'm looking more towards the use case of you're playing something in your apartment, you're taking an airplane to some other continent, you take your Chromecast with you. You arrive, you plug the Chromecast to hotel TV, you tether your 4G plus LTE advanced 5G to the Chromecast and just play as you were playing 10 hours ago in your bedroom. And right. It just works. That's my use case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd come in really handy. And whether you need a Chromecast or not, you have one of these little dilly bobs and you just throw it on your phone right mm-hmm. above you, you know. What you can't do is be on the airplane and do this, of course. You know what I mean? So there are limitations. It feels like incredibly mobile, but you do need a very solid Wi-Fi connection to the internet. It doesn't even work on mobile networks. As it stands right now, who knows when they'll be able to do that, but I have to imagine if a solid wired connection to the internet still introduces enough fluctuation in that data that's coming in to, you know, totally throw the video and the audio out of whack at times, then I can't even imagine what a mobile network would do to that. Like I imagine be kind of a nightmare. They'd really have to button that up, or maybe have a requirement for 5G. Maybe 5G doesn't even, you know, address the issues that would exist there. I'm not really quite sure, but yeah, a lot of question marks as far as this is concerned. It feels early. It's because it is early. You know, Google loves to bring everybody in early on things like this. And so to a certain degree, I feel like I'm cutting Google some slack for that alone. But, there's a lot to fix before this becomes a big, big success and before it releases early next year. So we'll see what happens.